This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:36, Thursday, December 30th. But we continue our retrospective of 2021, as we know the year is drawing to an end. And a topic that has dominated headlines has been health, or sadly, the lack of it due to the pandemic. Now, even Merriam-Webster's word of the year is vaccine. And we've used this word countless times. In fact, honestly, it's almost a greeting among friends with us asking, have you been vaccinated already? Replacing the normal, have you eaten?
What?
It's true.
Well, the country may not have managed the COVID crisis as well as it could have, but in the end, 78% of the population have completed both doses of the vaccination. We did get there eventually. And the booster shot program has already started in earnest with a new update by Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin that Pfizer and AstraZeneca recipients can receive their booster shots 3 months after their second dose instead of the original 6 months. So a bit of good news on the COVID front, but as a country, do we spend enough on our healthcare system despite $32.4 billion being allocated in budget 2022? Is this sufficient after taking into account several areas of concern like contract doctors' issues and rising mental health needs of the people?
So for answers, we turn to Azrul Mohammad Khalid, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Good morning, Azrul. Now, do you think the Health Ministry did a good job in rolling out the country's vaccination program despite the initial bumps in the early days?
We're happy that it has been largely successful despite the earlier troubles in terms of rolling it out. But, you know, that's something that the government seems to have been able to cover quickly and to be able to learn. And Malaysia is quite fortunate to today to be talking about booster shots, where other countries are still trying and struggling to get their primary vaccinations done. So we're in a very privileged position, which is more like the US and the UK. So, you know, the Ministry of Health has done a very good job in ensuring that we're at this point today.
Do you think the various movement control orders worked in bringing COVID cases down? Are the lockdowns the solution if we have to deal with another wave?
Difficult question to answer, simply because we need to draw a causal relationship between the number of cases with actions that were actually conducted during the movement control orders. And the reality is that the movement control orders in their different form did work to reducing the amount of movement between the different populations. But one of the things that we able to see is that the public's cooperation with the public health measures were largely responsible for bringing down the number of COVID cases. People were wearing masks, people were minimizing their movement, and they were also complying with the SOPs that the government had been putting into place, such as, you know, physical distancing, making sure that your hands are washed and sanitized frequently. And one of the things that we can also see as a sort of bonus, if you wanted to call it, is actually the reduction in number of cases that we usually see around this year. You know, we see, you know, measles, we see different influenza cases, you know, a large amount of influenza we see around this year. And that's really got to do with the fact that more people are taking care of their health, but also actually practicing the SOP. So it's not just about COVID that we're seeing in terms of improvements in the spread of infectious disease, but other diseases as well.
But Azrul, at the same time, the issue of the Hatal doctor contract still remains unresolved. So what kind of reforms would you like to see put in place to assist these contract medical doctors?
The reality is that we need to spend more. It's not possible to absorb such a large group of our doctors into the public health sector when there is not enough funds to be able to accommodate this group. And also, the fact that we have so many doctors today is also linked back to another issue of oversupply. Due to much more liberal approval of medical schools more than 10 years ago, today there are more people graduating from medical schools, but not enough places to accommodate them to do their housework. I think the third issue is, are we going to be able to retain the people that we already have in the public health system? When people are absorbed into the public health system, they are expecting to be supported in terms of their specialist training. So not only is the government having to also fork out funding to absorb these doctors into the health service, but also to allow them to pursue specialist training for which they are expected to fund. And this is something that in other countries may not necessarily be the case. The individual themselves maybe fund their own specialist training. But in Malaysia, the expectation is that the government would subsidize. Our needs being greater than what we are able to accommodate. And the fact is that we are just not providing enough funds. So we need to address the issue of healthcare financing urgently, put it to a level which is similar to other countries. Today, we are spending around, for the national budget, around 4%. Of GDP, and we really need to bring that up to perhaps around 5 or 5.5%.
Now, mental health has finally been given the attention it needs as reflected in Budget 2022. But you know, the reality is we're still lacking mental health practitioners. How can the Ministry of Health resolve this?
Well, this is one area that we feel has been neglected for a very long time. We can see, even from the budget for the past couple of years, that the budget has actually been much less compared to what it was in 2019, if you can believe it. We saw a slight increase in the budget for 2022, which it was tabled recently, but it's still lower than the budget allocation for mental health in 2019. So the fact is that mental health does not seem to be high on the priority list for the government. And this is something that needs to be addressed quickly, because we are seeing multiple mental health challenges today that will have severe repercussions. We've been having COVID-19 for 2 years now, and it has extracted a severe toll on the mental health of people, which has resulted in increasing numbers of depression, mental health illness. We've had quite a number of people who have died as a result of suicide. There have been cases of people needing support services and assistance during MCO, and they weren't able to get it. And imagine after the tragic circumstances due to the floods, there is going to be more need for mental health services. And the reality here is that these services are mostly accessed through the public health system. People can't afford to access the private healthcare services. So the public health service is still the primary point of contact for a lot of people. But unfortunately, appointments could be like maybe two weeks down from the requested date. Waiting list could be very long. And as a result, people are forced to wait a very long time before they can get the kind of help and support they need. And by then, it could be too late.
So, Azrul, what is your outlook for the health sector for 2022 then? And what are the gaps that need to be addressed here?
The health sector for 2022 is going to be a very challenging one. COVID-19 is still here. There are more variants. We're likely to see the emergence of new pathogens within the next couple of years. Certainly, I wouldn't be surprised if a new pathogen emerged in 2022 due to the consequences of climate change. The fact is that majority of Malaysians today live with at least one non-communicable disease. And that's a very worrying situation for many of us. For diabetes, for example, 6 million people are living with diabetes in Malaysia. And it translates a huge burden on the healthcare system, because a lot of patients depend on the government healthcare system to access treatment. What we will see is a continuous strain on our healthcare system to cater to the increasing needs of Malaysians who are not getting healthier, and we need to do something about that. And unfortunately, we are focused more on treating people, where you can see within a short period of time, if you're trying to prevent, it could take several years before you see the result of the investment. And unfortunately, we don't have enough funds. One of the things I did personally was to immediately look at my insurance to see whether or not it's fit for purpose and able to be future-proofed for the next couple of years. You know, only a third of Malaysians are insured against catastrophic illness, disease, and unanticipated events such as accidents and so forth. So 2022 will see more Malaysians vulnerable, especially for those who are marginalized communities. I'm very worried because the gaps continue to not be addressed. It's a little bit grim for 2022, but we will see what we can do, and hopefully working together, we're able to pull through the year.
Thank you for your time. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalid, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Unfortunately, ending the conversation with a bit of a grim outlook for 2022. We have many pressing needs, and it's actually a topic of our poll this morning. We were asking you, what is the next biggest healthcare challenge for next year? And we had four options.
Yeah, and I think it's reflecting what Azrul said. There are many pressing needs, and across the board, I think next wave of COVID-19 is top of mind, many people's minds, but very, I think, leading the way, mental health at 31%, and also our healthcare infrastructure at 32%.
Yeah, for me, all of the above.
All of the above.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.